Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists. My name's Annie McGrath. I'm talking to you today from the Netherlands because I'm here for TAFAF Maastricht. Very exciting. There's some Degas, some Van Goghs, some of the best art in the world. And I'm here to see it, baby. But welcome to today's episode, the penultimate one in series one of this series. I can't believe it. This is episode number 19 of 20. And it's with Rob Orton, who is so good. I think he's genuinely one of my favourite people to talk to. He's got such a beautiful voice and he's so articulate and poetic and has a very unique take on life. And I hope you enjoy the episode. I think he's absolutely brilliant. Also, go and see him on tour. He's touring the Time Show and he's got his own podcast, the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. So listen to that. Enjoy the episode. Goodbye.
I've got my phone on airplane mode.
Oh, well done. I have now as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Are we rolling?
Yeah. Do you like Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, I don't mind them. Do you?
Yeah. It was a good song, though.
Yeah, really good.
Is it your favourite?
Name some other of their songs.
Take a Look Around.
How does that go?
Ding, 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 ding,
oh, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Other people in the world today, that one. And then Break Stuff.
How's that go? This is what the
podcast is. Now I know why you want to break me. Because, hey, it's all see lately or something like that. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But well, I saw them at Leeds 2000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was them. Rage Against the Machine.
Killing in the Name of, did
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Big time.
I'm joined today by a true artist. Rob Orton is a fantastic comedy writer, performer, poet, actor, painter, and host of the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. His Edinburgh shows have been praised by the Financial Times as thought-provoking comic relief. And the Scotsman said, "We need him." Mm. That's a good quote.
That is a good quote, isn't it?
High praise indeed. You're currently touring the Time Show.
Yeah. I am currently touring the Time Show, yeah.
Mm.
Good intro.
Thank you. I'm very excited to see what you've brought.
All right.
Because I know you are, a lot of people that have been on it aren't necessarily artists, but I'm confident in your skills because
really?
You had a painting in my exhibition.
Yeah, that I still need to pick up.
Oh yeah, you do. Unfortunately, it didn't sell because we priced it at £1 million.
Yeah. But that was because it was off Chris Tarrant.
Yeah.
The title of it was I Want to Be a Millionaire.
It was very funny.
£1 million. I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
But
I agreed with you. But I think you'd have sold it probably if we'd,
do you think?
If we'd done it.
Has anyone else still got to go and pick the stuff up?
Oh yeah, loads of people.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. That was a beautiful painting, by the way, the Chris Tarrant one.
Thanks very much. So I've bought an object for us to draw or paint.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. Definitely the biggest box anyone has brought so far.
Well, there was two things that was going to... It was either this.
That is beautiful. A whale.
Yeah.
Moby Dick.
I don't know, maybe.
It's great. It's a sculpture. It's the first artwork anyone's brought in.
Oh, shit. I didn't think about that. I just thought
it is a work of art, isn't it?
Just thought it was a whale.
It is a whale.
So, I was on doing some gigs on the Isle of Wight.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this. And I thought, yeah, I quite like that. And then sent the picture to a girlfriend. And she said, yeah, get it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, God, it's going to be too big.
Why don't we profile the bitch? How's that? Then we both see all of it.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, love that. God, it's amazing. I love the colour as well. What would you call that?
How are we gonna?
Duck egg blue.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. They are. That is the same colour as the eggs in their nest. I used to see at my parents' house.
Ah, so was it expensive? The whale.
It cost. No, not really.
No.
But it was. I think it was meant to be like 150 quid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a lot of money for me, but I don't know. It was an investment.
It's beautiful. And did the sort of plinth come with it?
Yeah, but so when I was thinking about trying to draw it,
mm-hmm.
I just thought, I mean, if you painted that, or if one painted it, I think it'd be like. It'd be quite difficult to make it not look just like a blue.
Yeah.
Paint.
I'm just wondering what colours to put out. I'm going to start with a few shades of blue.
Oh, yeah. What blue's that?
That's Prussian.
Oh, yeah.
Love a bit of Prussian.
I used to work in an art shop, you see.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
Cass Art.
I love Cass Art.
Yeah.
Is that a fun job?
Well, I used to work in advertising
mm-hmm.
Because it was nearly a perfect job for someone who likes having ideas.
Yeah.
But it's a business advertising, and I struggled. And but then I did a gig and then started doing gigs on the side. And then got a job in an art shop to pay the rent. And mm-hmm. and then learned a little bit about paints and stuff like that. I started out on the shop floor and then was working in the stock room.
Oh, cool.
It was kind of... Yeah, it was. It was great, actually. But, I mean, it's like any...
love looking around art shops.
But people can be, you know...
Twats.
Yeah.
Did you get a lot of sort of pretentious questions?
Well, yeah, I did.
And worst customer experience?
I was standing at the till and a guy came behind the till and started pushing me into the corner.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, what are you doing? And then he was pushing me. And then luckily, I don't know, he must have had second thoughts and then left.
That's, I mean, not what I expected you to say. That's no. I thought it was going to be someone just asking something obnoxious.
It was on Berwick Street in Soho. So a few like inebriated people and there was a lot of shoplifting. And,
oh, right.
But
that shut down, I think, that castle.
No.
Oh, it's still there?
I think so.
Oh, good.
Maybe it isn't.
Sorry, that sound is... the paint for the listener. Right, I've put out a...
But yeah, this is... I stopped working there in 2012 and the price difference in, say, like that System 3 paint has gone up. It's gone up massively.
Yeah, it's an expensive podcast.
Fees for gigs don't seem to have risen too much.
No.
Which
That's
is...
true. We should take that up with...
We should.
Don't know who.
I'm going to use a pencil.
The Comedy Gods. Yeah, pencils. The pencils are in there.
All right.
So I've put out a yellow ochre, sap green, the Prussian blue I mentioned earlier. How do you pronounce that? Cerulean blue?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Burnt sienna. I'm just going to put out some white.
Yeah.
What else? Maybe we need a bit of red, do you think?
Maybe.
Crimson.
Depends.
I'm just thinking about this sort of... It does look wooden to me, but that like brownie colour.
Yeah.
Oh, can't get it out.
But no, it was good. The good thing about it being in Soho was that there was some, you used to get some famous people in there.
Buying their art supplies.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous person you served?
I sold Vic Reeves some spray paint once.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to use a pencil.
I think I'm going to use a pencil too, now that I've put out all that paint.
It's good to get the outline. For the sound effects.
Yeah, they're quite good today, actually. Have you ever worked in an art gallery?
No, never.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Where?
Fitzrovia.
Oh, yeah.
So near Soho.
What was that like?
It's very stressful. We used to have... Because most people...
This is a big generalisation. Most people who work in contemporary art galleries tend to be sort of young girls getting into the arts.
Right.
And we'd have men who would come in on motorbikes with bike helmets, and they'd steal the laptops. Because generally galleries, there's just like one person on the desk.
Right.
So a lot of that sort of thing.
Flip.
Luckily, I wasn't actually working when that happened.
Were you?
I was one of the people with the bicycle helmets. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a superficial old world, isn't it?
It is.
I'm worried the paper's not big enough.
Have you got any bigger paper?
I think we need it, don't we?
What about this?
Yeah, I think we should use some of that. Have you got
I might just draw the tail.
Mmm.
Or something. Have I got a what? So what? Were you like putting on exhibitions?
Yeah, so selling artworks, you know, doing private views, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, art fairs. All the art.
How long did you work in there for then?
6 months.
Oh, did you?
But it felt like a lifetime.
Right.
Well, it's quite hard to get the whole length of it.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, this.
No, it's a very good choice, can I just say?
But it's going to be, yeah, I think, I mean, it was in hindsight. Do you know what? It was either this. Last night I thought, what am I going to use? And I thought, right, it'll either be this, or I was going to bring the, in 2013, I won the Dave Joke of the Fringe thing.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. And I was going to bring the elephant that says Dave on it.
Both good choices.
I like the way it. Not because I'm like massively proud of that, but it's an elephant. So I kind of wanted to bring an animal.
Yeah.
But that was a weird day.
Yeah, did your Twitter go mad?
It did, yeah. They don't really advertise that. That you get that amount of abuse.
Yeah, what was the level? Because I once got 8th best joke of the Fringe, and I got a few. I got someone telling me the joke was elitist.
What was the joke?
The joke was, don't you hate it when people assume that you're rich because you sound posh and went to a private school and have loads of money? And it sort of works.
It does work, doesn't it?
Written down, it's always different written down, isn't it, to when you perform it. But people have always got opinions on those sorts of things.
Yeah, definitely.
And also, you don't ask to be included. It just sort of...
Yeah, I know. It's bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah. What was your joke that won?
I heard a rumour Cadbury's are releasing an oriental chocolate bar could be a Chinese whisper. Right?
Nice.
Well...
What did they say about it?
Well, it was funny because I was doing it. It was, when was that? 2013. And I was doing a gig in one of Ivor Dembina's gigs.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get people to come to my show that was in the Banshee Labyrinth. And it was just a spot. And I think there was about 10 or 12 people there. But one of them was Bruce Dassault.
Mm-hmm.
And
comedy critic,
and I told that joke, and he seemed to like it, and then he was also scouting for jokes that year.
What a weird job.
And yeah, but no, it was, you know, it's I'm not unthankful for it by any means.
What was the ratio of people enjoying it to abuse online?
Well, stuff like that. I mean, I might have to get another bit. Have you got another bit of paper there?
Yeah, yeah. Loads of it.
Thank you. It was pretty abuse heavy, really. But, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You got that colour. That's pretty.
I'm quite
pretty
happy
bang
with
on
that,
there,
actually,
isn't it?
Yeah,
well done.
I mean, you can use it if you like. I've mixed a bit of cerulean blue.
Yeah.
Cadmium yellow, I think that is.
Yeah.
And titanium white.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty bloody spot on, actually.
It is.
I've started with the paint. I sort of did the outline in pencil and thought, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to go straight in.
I think that's. Whenever I see paintings and. you know, of like plants or something like that, and they've got the colours so right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that it takes a lot of skill to paint the thing, but mixing the colours is a massive skill in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
It was a pretty intense day, that, because I got up and was just having to do a lot of radio.
Mm-hmm.
And went on like Scottish TV. And
did you find that
mad
people who hadn't been in Edinburgh were sort of congratulating you?
Oh, big time, yeah.
A joke, because I found when I got back from the Fringe, obviously you've done a month of shows and you feel sort of quite pleased with yourself. Not pleased with, I mean, mixed feelings, obviously, but yeah, you feel like you've sort of endured quite an intense month, and then suddenly you get back and people are like, oh, congratulations on your joke.
Totally, yeah.
You know, like, I've spent a month writing a show, but you've made it sound like I've written one
joke. Well, it's funny that, isn't it? I think that sometimes if you can give stuff like that, it's maybe easy for people to kind of grab onto and go, oh, right, yeah, that's something.
Yeah, oh, you're doing well because you want a joke. Not to do a disservice to your achievement.
Yeah.
But
I was doing a show about the sky that year, and people would start coming to the Chinese whisper joke, and it wasn't actually in the show.
Did you add it in just to give the people what they wanted?
Nah.
Quite funny to go to see a joke, like going to see your favourite song by a band.
I bet some people do.
Yeah, probably.
Do you have a favourite joke?
Of yours?
No. Imagine.
What's your favourite of my jokes?
Just going into, hey, so what's your favourite joke? What? No, mine, obviously.
Yeah. You got me on the podcast. What's your favourite of my jokes? I don't know if I have a favourite joke. I don't really necessarily think of comedy like that.
No.
Do you have one?
Well, I didn't do that to set this up, but Bob Einstein, Marty Funkhauser in Curb.
Mm-hmm.
He told some absolutely banging ones. I think whenever he gets the opportunity, I saw him on Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's best if people just look it up, but I mean, he's just got some absolutely dynamite ones. I wish that I could write. I can't write jokes like maybe like one every 4 years or something.
Well, that's enough if you're winning awards for them.
They take
4 years to write.
But it's just, I always get like one end of it. Say like the setup or something. Or that's a good idea. I always have like, oh, that's a good idea for a joke.
Yeah.
But I never actually, or very rarely, can I do the joke.
Do you think it's a different discipline writing sort of short jokes?
I think it probably definitely is, yeah. And just being able, because, you know, there's loads of funny ideas knocking about. I think the thing was is that when that Chinese whisper one, everyone was just saying, I thought of that. Well, not me, like they would get on to me on Twitter and say, I think you'll find that's my joke. And the thing,
yeah, that happens every time, I think, with the Dave joke.
Yeah, but I think the thing is that there's so many, you know, it's just words, isn't it? And people are going to put these things together
mm-hmm.
all the time, and it's there's no way that you can kind of claim anything. It's just maybe sometimes who might get there first, or
yeah,
something like that. Like, you know, that thing with Jamie Vardy's, what's her name, Rebecca Vardy, when
yeah
that kicked off, and then it that was quite, because it was on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
There was proof of who thought of that. Wagatha Christie. But yeah, it's all, there's, you know, there's only a limited amount of words in the world and in the English language, and, you know, people just put them together.
Mm.
And
have you ever had someone take a joke of yours?
Duh. No. I don't think so. Have you?
I've had that tweet I did about spinach. Gosh. People sort of would copy.
Oh, yeah, that was brilliant, isn't it?
People would like use the photo and write a different caption, but yeah, sort of crop my Twitter handle out of it, which I thought was weird because I understand the thing with like words, how you can come up with the same ideas. But when I, Like, you've literally taken the photo that that's my kitchen table.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, that's looking really good, that, Annie. I think you've been doing a lot of painting recently, haven't you?
Thanks. I've got the wood colour a bit wrong,
nah,
though.
That's it. It's like, this is it. It's like doing gigs. You've got to be match fit. And I haven't done any of this drawing.
But I love that you're using two bits of paper stuck together. It's ambitious. You're a conceptual man.
I couldn't. It wouldn't fit on.
I think I've probably shortened the body a bit too much. It's hard to get the whole thing.
I think I need an eraser.
Have you got a favourite artist, Rob?
I always get a lot of enjoyment from looking at Francis Bacon's paintings.
I love Francis Bacon.
I think that I love his interviews as well.
Mm.
The way that he talks about life in general and how we... just kind of wanted to be thrown in a drain when he died, you know, just put him in a carrier bag and throw him in the side of the road, and just because he just, like, his body's not worth anything anymore, and just that thing of saying how he just wants to live. And I love, like, he's completely fascinated with the mouth and, like, the colours of it and, like, the shine of it and all that. He really goes off on one, really, and I think it's just so widely kind of a lot. Yeah, I think he inspired a lot of people, didn't he? And
definitely.
But
I love his sort of quite grotesque portraits where the face is just like blurred. You can see the sort of smudges of the paint.
Yeah, brilliant teeth a lot of the time.
Yeah.
The Anthony Gormley exhibition.
Oh, yeah.
At the Royal Academy. That was the last one that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was brilliant. And I think it was just, it was this room where he'd got, I don't know how many kilometres of, I think it was like aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
And just... let it unfurl in this room, so it went right up to the walls. I think there was like miles of it, and it made me think of... I love travel on trains quite a lot for doing gigs, and there's always so much pipe, like in just in the world, you know, all like when you're driving down a motorway.
Yeah.
And there's so much... of just these pipes that, like, meters and meters and miles and miles and miles and miles of pipes. It's like, that was all made in a factory. And I just, a lot of the time when I see art or something, I think, oh, that'd be massive if it was
in a gallery.
Well, no, like in a house, you know, right, like if you put any, say like if you're at Glastonbury or something and you see a flag in the greenfields, that's probably as, you know, as big as a lot of people's living rooms. And I just looked like the scale of what he did in that gallery, I thought was brilliant.
Mm. I've been enjoying your Instagrams of different sort of empty train carriages.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I saw another one today. Well, I got the tube, so I saw another train today. That was pretty good. But I realised that the numbers are also on the side of the carriage on the outside.
Oh, right.
So... I was travelling on the 51571 today.
Oh.
It was all right. It was pretty decent.
What was your favourite train to have travelled on? Do you note down all the numbers?
I've just started. I'm just trying to make things more interesting for myself.
Does that make you a train spotter, or are you... would you not go
tube spotter,
tube
maybe
spotter.
You never see him, do you?
No.
People on the side of the platform were writing down the numbers.
I actually saw someone at Finchley Central the other day taking a photo of a train.
Oh, did you?
And I thought, what are you up to?
I had an idea once for a thing I wrote about someone being a car spotter standing on the side of the motorway writing down number plates. but never seen him. Like just loving loving cars so much that you're writing them all down.
Must be people that do that for every mode of transport, do you reckon?
Yeah. Have you got a favourite artist? I guess people have spoken to you about that a lot on the podcast.
A little bit. I usually say Peter Doig because I do love his stuff.
What's his second name? Doig?
Doig.
Oh.
Yeah.
Doig.
Doig.
That's a great second name.
D-O-I-G.
Oh.
I also like, there's a guy called Tom Hammock who actually
just like artists with good names, don't you?
Quite similar to Peter Doig, sort of magical landscapes with figures.
Oh, really?
Slightly like desolate.
What, like drawings?
No, paintings. I think oil or maybe acrylic, actually.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I love a good use of paint. Jenny Saville as well, one of my favourites. Thick, colourful, painty, but a bit dark as well.
Yeah.
I'd say your style is quite dark. Like even your portrait of Chris Tarrant.
Oh yeah.
There was like a real bleakness to it, I thought.
Yeah.
You use very beautiful colours, like lots of nice pinks and whites.
Mm.
But I thought it looked quite sad, like...
yeah.
No, maybe that's just me reading into
no,
it.
No, I think it's probably right. I mean, it's...
Is it intentional?
Not really, no. I just... That seems to be... That's, I think, a lot of the time in the like live shows that I've been doing, I tried to put some positivity into it and try and... A, make myself feel better about being alive, and then if I can do that, then you know, I'm halfway there, really. But I remember one time, I don't really do very many drugs. I've never done very many drugs, but one time I was at university, and there was some shops just along from the halls of residence, and you could get magic mushrooms from the shop. They were legal. And we got these like Mexican truffle things that came in almost like a drug canister,
right.
Or like a medical thing, like something that would be in one of Damien Hirst's things.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we took them all, which was probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely, first of all, I didn't know what was happening. Then I was laughing so much. And then I went into my bedroom and looked at my notebooks and I thought, oh my God, they're all so sad. Why is it so bleak? Like, why are you just looking at the dark side so much? And you know, there was quite a lot of aggression in there as well. And
that's interesting. What, so you had that revelation like whilst you were high?
Well, maybe a little bit. But I've, you know, I've never done anything like that since. But it was a bit of a like arrow to the head, really. But yeah, I think going back to the painting thing, you should have seen the one I did of Anthony Worrell Thompson. That was dark.
Really? I'd love to see it.
I did one of Deborah Meaden as well.
Why are you? Is a celebrity generally your muse? Or
well. Once I did, thing is, When I started doing them, I think I did about four or five, and then I said, put them up on Facebook, and it was like, right, I'm taking requests now, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this big idea that before the end of the year, I'd have like 500 portraits of celebrities, and mm-hmm. I'd be able to do my own show. But it never came about, really. And I was thinking about that on the way here, actually, of why did that kind of slip, or a lot of my artistic ideas that I have, like I've done for a bit and then stopped, which is why I'm kind of pleased that I've stuck with doing these themed shows that I've been doing. Mm. Because it's done, I've done like, this will be the, I'm just doing the ninth one now for the ninth year in a row, and that's like, I'm pleased that I've committed.
It's your ninth stand-up show?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very impressive.
And
which do you find more useful as a creative outlet, painting or writing or performing? Or do you think those?
I think they do different things to me. Like the other day, I don't know why, I think I'd just come back from Bristol from doing some gigs that I'd really enjoyed. And then a couple of days later, I just felt really, really, really flat. And I had a day where I was just listening to the, I've listened to the Velvet Underground a little bit,
mm-hmm.
like a few of their albums, but I've never like properly got stuck in for a whole day. So I just did that, put the Velvet Underground, and then made some posters to try to sell at these gigs I just done in Cardiff, which was, there's a line in the show about the watch is the wristband to the Festival of Punctuality.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got like a drew around my hand and then painted it and then did like some writing on it. And I made loads of them and listened to the Velvet Underground, and just doing that, I wasn't having to have any ideas or anything. And I was just so relaxing, and I just felt so far away from like having to think about my new show or anything like that. I think that the actual like act of putting paint to paper or pencil to paper or can be really I don't know, it's like running or something like that.
Mm.
I found myself talking a little bit about running recently, but then I've seen a couple of sketches and bits in sitcoms where they're taking the piss out of people who are talking about the fact that they've just started running.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh God, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, I heard a bit about running as well. It is, I think art is sort of similar to exercising. Like it can lift your mood like nothing else, I think. And as you say, like I do find it a good distraction.
Yeah.
Can be a good stress reliever.
Well, I think if you're just doing it for your self, you know, it's I don't have to think about what anyone's going to think about it.
Mm.
Singer-songwriter Jeffrey Lewis, and I love his stuff. And I was listening to an interview with him recently, and he was saying that he just wants to try to impress himself mm-hmm. with the work that he does.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel like that. And I think that's how everyone, you know, surely that's the sign of, if you've had an idea and you're impressed by your own creation. I love that when you have an idea and you're like, you wake up in the morning and then you remember that you had that idea and I thought of that.
Yeah.
It's a real buzz.
I think you've got to think that what you're doing is good, but I think there is an element of it can't just be for you. Well, if you're doing it professionally, it can't just be for yourself, can it?
No. So no, it's like exactly, balance, yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Which can be frustrating.
I always remember, this is a bit blue, this bit, and I try not to swear, but I remember one of my friends asked me once, he said, how's the new show going?
And I said, well, I like it. And he said, well, I like wanking, but I don't get paid for it. And that just kind of, it's always stuck with me, that.
Yeah, that's quite a good analogy.
Because it's, I'm like, yeah, people are going to, hopefully people will pay to come and, so you've got to do, you know, have them in mind a little bit.
That was your wank show, wasn't it?
The wank show, yeah. I've got all that, the shit show.
Time, sky, hair.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I'll do, just be like, yeah, go into that. Oh no, the eye here is going to end up on the, where the two bits of paper meet.
Oh, nightmare.
That is a nightmare.
Yeah, so I don't love the eye that I've done, but there we go. So do you run a lot?
Well, I was running just before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Started it. I was just driving myself mad by not getting any exercise. And you know that period after Edinburgh when there's kind of not much. There's not much happening, and I'm always absolutely drained after it.
It feels like a massive anticlimax sometimes.
Yeah, and the month of the adrenaline just kind of keeps me going for a certain amount of time, and then it just drops me like a stone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, God, right. And it's a physical thing. Mm. I was doing all right. I was running around Victoria Park and it was okay. And then I stopped for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started again, and all my legs kind of seized up.
All of them?
All two of my legs seized up, yeah.
Oh no, what, so you've not done it since?
Well, just my knees were really hurting, and I kind of thought, well, I'm going on quite a big, well, not a massive tour, but big for me, so I thought, well, I don't want to like really screw my knees up.
Yeah.
So I just thought, I'll give it a bit of a rest. Well, how about you? Do you do exercise?
Yeah, I'm doing a half marathon soon.
So oh, yeah.
I've been trying to do some longer runs.
Right.
I sometimes do the park run.
Have you
done that?
No.
It's like a 5K that they do around the UK.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's worldwide, but it's organised by volunteers.
Yeah, great. There's one of them in Victoria Park, actually.
Yeah, it's quite good because they time you and there's like loads of people, so it's quite supportive, and it's at 9, so you just get it done.
9 in the morning?
9 a.m. on a Saturday.
Right.
So that's sort of the setback for me because I hate going up in the morning. But
does it set you up for the Saturday then, yeah?
It really does. Because by 9:25, if you've done it by then, you're set for the day.
9:20, what, you're running 5K in 25 minutes?
My PB, Rob, is 22:29.
Really?
Yeah.
Bloody
but
hell.
That was like a year ago. I don't know, I need to do it again.
That's quick.
Thanks.
Well, it's not a compliment,
that.
It's a fact. Isn't it?
That's all right, yeah.
That is quick. Do you know what I did it in?
What?
3/4 of an hour.
45?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But that is 5K round the...
Yeah, but that's not for the park run, is it? That's just you by yourself.
Yeah, yeah, but I was taking it as seriously.
No, you definitely would do it quicker. Because when you're racing against other people... Are you a competitive person?
I don't know. Good question.
I think the adrenaline.
I'm quite competitive with myself.
Hmm.
I was never... I always... The sports I liked as a child were fishing and golf, which are next to each other in the Argos catalogue. So I think that's why I like them. But
both quite solo activities.
Exactly, yeah. I was never much of a... I don't like the pressure of... being part of a team and like letting people down.
Right.
I like it when there's only me who I can let down, really.
Interesting.
So
that's why you do stand up.
Maybe. I mean, God knows what it must be like if you're part of a... I don't think I could do that if I was part of a double act.
Mm.
Well, you've done that, haven't you?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was great, yeah.
Didn't you have any nights where like either you or... Jack would like get it wrong and you'd really get cross with each other?
Well, I mean, there were definitely nights where one of us would get it wrong, but it was luckily the style We did. It was very loosely sketch comedy, but it was sort of like stand-up, so we would both be able to talk to the audience, and we kept it very loose.
Right.
So if anything went wrong...
Oh, and I guess the positives massively outweigh the negatives of it.
Yeah, I think so. Having not done sketch for ages, because I've been doing stand-up shows,
yeah.
I did a... There was a... sort of sketch night at Vaults the other day where you sort of swap round sketch groups and it's a competition. You've each got to do like 10 minutes.
Great.
And it was just so relaxing being on stage with other people, even though obviously in a way when you get laughs, it's more satisfying when you're by yourself. But there is something very nice about sharing, well, the glory and the pain when you're with other people. Because I think, you must find on tour, it can get quite lonely, can't it?
Yeah. It's one of the most difficult things when you've finished the show, and especially if it's been really good.
And you have no one to share it with.
Yeah, and everyone goes downstairs and they're having a beer, and it's like, ah, crap. But you know, it's all part of the job, and I guess I should just be pleased that I'm getting to do it. But I think the only reason that I don't know, it's not, you know, you started doing it in 2012, doing the solo shows, and you know, obviously no one was coming, but I worked flipping hard to try and build up any type of audience.
It's great. Now you're touring your own show.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just...
Remind yourself what you've achieved.
Yeah, but I think even then, it's just, you just never know what's going to happen. Like, I did one in Southend, and it was the first night of the tour, and, you know, it was on a Saturday night, and there was people in there who would just obviously said, is there any comedy on? Oh, yeah, there's someone in the studio.
And they expect a certain thing.
Well... It's my fault because it's listed as comedy. So if they come expecting comedy, you know, I'm kind of doing them a disservice, really. But
well, what you do is comedy, but there's obviously different types. And you wouldn't just be like, oh, is there music on? Great, I like music.
Exactly.
Like, there's different kinds of comedy. I think there's an idea that it'll all be, oh, yeah, they'll pick on us and we'll have a laugh about our mate Gary, who's a bit of a prick.
I know, but that's, yeah, my heart does sink when I see people who are on the front row, like, bracing for combat. And I just come on and I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes.
What is art?
For me, art is anything that doesn't exist until you do it yourself. So anything that only exists because you've decided that it's going to exist, whether it be like, I don't know. I know maybe you can't call a salad art, but you could do. I think what annoys me is that anyone who thinks that they know what is and isn't, or someone who tries to know something about creativity when really everyone's just trying to have a bit of a go, you know.
And like reviewers.
Well, maybe, but you know, I've kind of come to peace with reviewers. I know that they have got to make a living, and some, you know, people need to know maybe what they're going to see. I think.
Do you think they're important for art?
I think that it can be good for like big West End shows.
Yeah.
Say like if you've got some people coming down from York and they're going to be paying 70 quid for a ticket.
They want to know what it is.
They want to know what it is, and I think if a reviewer's been and has seen loads and loads of West End shows over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's totally valid, that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other times when you're like, ah, come on, give me a break. I'm doing a work in progress at Latitude Festival and you're reviewing it and tearing me a new one. I don't think that's very fair.
Sounds very specific.
devoid of all point and meaning. That was, yeah, pretty tight, that, I thought.
That's me. I like how on your website you've got a praise and criticism page.
Well, I think it's
for
important.
Balance.
Yeah.
Have you ever pretended to like art? Like to impress someone or... Are you quite honest about what you like?
Yeah, I think I tried to be. I think that you're always going to get found out, aren't you?
Mm.
If you start to try to be like an expert in something. So if I'm having a conversation with someone who might know more about like poetry or art than me, then I just try to be interested, you know?
Yeah.
And let people say what they want to say and be try and be a student of it. And I think that I'm just interested in the way that things make me feel. Do you know what I mean? I'm not really interested in, like, I know that some people will say about, say, like, the Rothko pictures in the Tate, and they mean this and they mean that, but, yeah, it's just an opinion. No one really, it's, you know, people can, if they knew him and they were talking to him and then he told them, right, this is what this is and I want you to feel this, then.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what makes really good. Like, one of my favourite things is mishearing people and taking that. I'm like, did you say that? And like, no. I'm like, oh well, I've just got this from it, so thanks very much. And I love that. And I just feel like that's the whole thing with art, is just that it's all up for grabs, and that you should be able to just pick up a pen and a pencil and be able to do something and then it exists, yeah, great. And if you don't like it, right, move on to the next thing and then do something else and then do other things and then just keep trying to keep going and keep going and keep going. And don't be mean and just flip in, do your thing. And I think it's all the same for me, like art, music, writing, poetry. So when kids are at school and they get taught what poetry is and they say, oh no, right, so it's got to rhyme and do this and do that. Like, I've had some bad experiences of people trying to tell me what my stuff is and isn't and stuff like that. And I'm just like, ah, come on. Because when I start thinking about dying and not being here anymore, and like, the worst thing that you could do is compromise so that, like, I always think about having an interview after, being dead and someone saying to you, so what did you think about life then? And you'd be like, yeah, it was all right, you know, and then they go, all right, thanks. And then you go, actually, no, hold on, I've got a bit more to say about it than that. And and then you go, right, well, what do I think about it? I love thinking about that and just think about, you know, life and death and just flipping, trying to engage with it and stop. Because I think the thing is with like a lot of, because we're so used to being our bodies and I'm used to having my hands and my feet, and it's easy to stop thinking about them and then basically with everything I'm doing at the moment, just trying to shape myself into keeping on giving a shit, you know, and not getting tired of it. So when you travel to a part of London and that you've never been to, and then you draw in a whale for an hour, you know, it's like brilliant.
You feel alive.
Well, great, yeah. What day is it? It's Thursday afternoon. Yeah. You know, if I was at school and someone said to me, so this is what you're going to be doing when you're on a Thursday afternoon, like, you won't be at school anymore, you'll be doing this, I'll be like, all right,
brilliant,
great. And then they'd say, well, yeah, but in order to do this, you're going to have to do this. I'd be like, oh well, that sounds like a bit of a, that seems like it's going to be quite a lot of effort, actually, of going up to Edinburgh and no one coming to your shows, and then doing it and just keeping on doing it and doing it and doing it. But all the artists and big, but yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because like when Picasso was doing his portraits when he was younger, when he was like 11 or something, he was doing art that's as good as anything, you know, or like the portraits, he was doing as good as like the classic people were doing, like just amazing stuff. And then he just like threw it all out the window. Like, now I'm going to do this.
Mm.
Whatever that means, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, Annie. Do you know what? It's good to... One of the favourite things about drawing this has been the fact that I've just been thinking quite a lot about whales. And just the... Because I love... One of my favourite TV moments ever was that in Blue Planet when it started and David Attenborough was talking, when it was like a overhead shot of a blue whale and it's like, and now we see the blue whale and his heart is as big as a mini and his tail is as... And you can swim down its blood vessels and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, even hearing that, it's still impossible to comprehend.
Yeah, totally.
And that was a good impression, by the way.
Nah.
Yeah, it was. Conceptual or realism?
I think realism.
Impressionism or expressionism?
Expressionism.
Straight lines or curves?
Curves.
Portrait or landscape?
Ooh, landscape.
Oil or watercolour?
Oil.
Looking at art alone or with other people?
Oh, that's difficult, isn't it?
Mm.
I think you'd probably have to say other people. Am I allowed to elaborate on these answers?
Yeah, please.
I just think that it's good being on in a gallery on your own, but, you know, like when the person you're with, if they go and then like they go off to into another room.
Yeah.
And then you meet up with them, that's always a good moment, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's good. You've sort of been to see other pictures, but you're in the same place.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the debrief, exactly.
Talk about or think about art?
Probably think about...
Our film's art?
Yeah.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Yes. You can.
You can.
Yeah.
I like the way you say
that. Yeah, that's a fact. I think you can. I think that the, you know, some of the work of people that I really like have done some like quite questionable things, but mm-hmm. I still like the work.
Tortured artist or rational shop salesperson?
What do you mean?
Which do you prefer?
Nah, do you know? It's like phrasing like God never gives with both hands, but probably tortured. It's worth it for the glimmers of light that come through.
Mm. Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Close up.
Private view or view of privates?
Probably view of privates. No, both. Both at the same time.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Life.
Is what you do art?
Yeah, I'm going to say it is.
First kiss?
Yeah. What do people say to that?
Mixture of things. Some people answer it.
I'll tell you if you want.
Oh yeah, go on.
Well, it's interesting because she is now my dentist.
I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hair or dreams?
Dreams.
Time or sleep?
Time.
Whale or whales?
That is difficult because I've just come back from there. And I love whales. You know what? I'm going to say Wales is in the country. I think it's brilliant.
Dicks or pussies?
I think pussies, innit? I mean, that's fucking bizarre.
I love it.
Yeah, look at that. Yours is great.
Yours is great.
Very good, aren't
you? Mine's a bit flat, actually, now that I look at it. This is great. Commitment, 10. you've committed so much to the length of the body.
Yeah.
That you've used more bits of paper.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I'd be able to. I think with a bit more time, and then you just kind of like zoom in on it a bit more.
Yeah, I like that, the sort of perspective, how you've gone bigger on the head, so it's like it's sort of coming towards you.
Go on.
Haven't finished. Technique, I think, is good. I like how that you've stuck with the pencil and you've got the different marks, the sort of roughness of the browny, woody bit, and then the spots, which I was trying to do as well, which I found quite difficult.
Yeah.
You've gone darker, shading up the body.
Yeah.
I think you could have done with a bit more time to get the real shading in. I'm going to give you 8 for technique. So okay. An overall A, I think. 8 out of 10 and a 10 out of 10. You'd pass your GCSE with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Really like it. You need to sign it as well.
Okay. I think that was when I was at the peak of my powers, actually, GCSE.
Really?
Yeah. Do I get to critique yours now?
Yeah, please.
What the
commitment, technique, and a final overall grade.
Commitment. Well, yeah, I mean, I think you've really committed to the colours, and I tell you what, I think the commitment is 10.
Oh, thanks.
I think because. Well, no, I really like it. My favourite thing about it is the colour and the shape of the tail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. I've struggled a bit with the tail.
So but do you know what I think the best bit is?
What?
The technique used when applying the like coppery colour.
Oh, yeah. You know what I used? What? This brush that goes around in like a spiky sphere.
Yeah, fan brush, isn't it?
Fan brush, yeah. Someone's worked at an art shop.
Yeah.
That really helped getting the stripy lines of the material.
Yeah, it's really, really done wonders, that.
That brush really saved me, actually.
That's the thing about, you know, when you first put that on, I guess you didn't know it was going to work as well as that, did you?
No, but then I saw it and I, if anything, probably overused it.
Yeah. So yeah, 10's all around for me.
Thanks, mate.
My pleasure.
This has been great. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What a lovely boy. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter. He's at Rob Orton. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, at Secret Art Pod, to see photos of our brilliant artworks. And I'm on Twitter at Annie McTweet. And Instagram at mcgraw.annieand.art for my art. Thanks to everyone who came to see me at Soho Theatre and Vaults. I'm doing the Glasgow Fringe, for God's sake, on the 15th of March. So plenty of tickets for that. Don't you worry about that. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to seeing you. Doesn't feel like the right word. Looking forward to talking at you next week for our final episode, and OMG, what a guest we've got. Goodbye. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton, Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.